This morning we find ourselves with Jesus and his earliest followers outside of Jewish territory, maybe even outside of their comfort zones. They and we have traveled to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. We've gotten here by boat, a choppy voyage during which the disciples had to awaken Jesus to calm a storm on the lake. And those closest to Jesus were afraid that Jesus did not care if they would survive the turbulence they experienced, an event which raised a profound question for reflection. How much do we trust in Christ when the seas of life get rough? As we step off the boat onto Gentile land, we encounter a different kind of storm, a storm which has disrupted the lives of both an individual and a community. And we might ask, how much do we trust in Christ when we think we're on solid ground? Jesus is met immediately by a man who has been stripped of everything, who's been forced to take up residence in the tombs, the town's graveyard, by himself, separated from his community. His problems are beyond our ability to diagnose. At least we might be content and make ourselves feel better by thinking that they are. This man is tormented by an unclean spirit, multiple demons, who ironically recognize that Jesus has mastery over them, not to mention the entire universe. This man has many forces working against him in his so-called life, and it's not just the demons. Notice how this man's community has quarantined him through restraint, repression, and isolation. These are short-term measures that societies default to, which focus on symptoms, but not the source. And those short-term measures, well, they failed. I often wonder how much time our society wastes addressing problems by way of the symptoms and not the source. I mean, I get it. Symptoms are what we notice first, but sometimes we give so much attention to the symptoms that we never get around to asking thought-provoking questions which will lead us to a root cause. Could it be that we don't want to question at a deep level what's actually going on in our lives? Because acknowledging the problem for what it is means we would have to change. And change is disruptive to the status quo. God forbid that we rock the boat. We live too much of our lives afraid, much like the disciples were afraid on the lake, like the demons by the mere arrival of Jesus, like the townspeople who begged Jesus to leave them. They begged him to leave when they witnessed firsthand just how much power Jesus has to bring wholeness to life situations we might accept as beyond repair or not troubling enough to address. Are we afraid to change? Are we afraid for the resurrected Christ to deal with our problems at the core? Because we know that comes with a cost. Are we afraid we might lose ourselves or who we think we are, the people we've worked so hard to become? Am I afraid to be transformed into the person God sees in me? In our gospel lesson this morning, one cost of this man's restoration to wholeness is borne by the community's local economy, at least temporarily. When confronted by Jesus, the demons beg to be cast into a large herd of swine. Jesus obliges, and the demon-filled boars at the disgust of the agricultural industry cascade down a steep cliff and are drowned, taking down with them the local pork commodities futures. Why is this community more upset about dead pigs than they are overjoyed with a man whose life has been transformed by Jesus? How has this community become so concerned about economic development that they've lost sight of human dignity? Can this community's leaders be compared to some down 75 in Flint who valued a revenue stream over safe drinking water? Were this town's leaders on par with certain corporations today that capitalize on the genuine challenges of some, like creating ads which imply that a person's coming out would have gone more smoothly had she changed cell phone networks? Can a culture idolize something so much that it refuses to admit how much damage that idol causes? Jesus' desire for this man to be healed is the same desire we have for our children to be safe at school, church, home, and in our neighborhoods. The desire we have for all people to be free of disease, suffering, and addiction. The desire we have to end poverty, hunger, violence, and all things which hold humanity back from who God knows we can be. And because Jesus turns his righteous desires into action, we, as apprentices of Jesus, are called to do the same. Our pilgrimage with Jesus to the other side, out of our comfort zones, well, it challenges us to think critically about the demons of our day. Are we prepared to do the costly work that comes with treating the source of our problems and not merely the symptoms? What are we afraid we might lose? And do we have enough faith in Christ Jesus to trust that the transformation he seeks to work in us is in the best interest of our communities? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.